This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Quicken Loans Studios in Houston, Texas is where I make my home, where I make my radio home as well, afternoons on Sports Radio 610. And a good friend of that show, he joins me on that show every Friday afternoon, is set to join me right now on this show to talk a little NFL football. He has covered the NFL for over four decades, and he joins me right now. He covers the NFL for the Houston Chronicle. John McClain joining me on CBS Sports Radio. What's happening, John?
All kind of things, Sean. I'm getting ready for the Cavs and the Celtics. I watched the Astros bullpen have maybe the worst performance in franchise history and blowing a game in Cleveland, and I'm really getting excited about the Stanley Cup Finals because my wife loves the Caps. So if she loves them, I love them.
Yeah, but you know.
And then the biggest story of the day, and I'm sure all of your listeners nationally will agree with this, Baylor beating TCU for its first Big 12 championship.
I saw that. I saw that on Twitter. I thought of you when that happened. John, where do you squeeze billions into all this whole thing, this tapestry of sports you have going on?
I will watch the one that comes on at 11 Central. I can't do what you did and wait almost a week to watch it. I have to watch it. I don't care how late I stay up because it's the best show on TV.
Yeah, you got a nice Sunday lined up, my man. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So, John, let's we'll talk about actual football on the field here in just a second. But probably the biggest topic from this past week was the fallout from the owners' meeting with the policy that they put in place for the anthem protests to handle that or address it, try to address it at least, in which if players want to stay in the locker room during the anthem, they're welcome to stay in the locker room and then come out after the anthem is over. I guess your thoughts, certainly on the policy, but even more so, John, just the execution of this policy by the owners and how you think this thing's going to play out when we start seeing actual football games in a few months.
If I was grading that league meeting like I grade the Texans every week, I would give the policy an F-, and I would give the presentation an F-. When I listen to the members of the Social Justice Committee say we can now put the focus back on football, that's the exact opposite of what's happened. And they don't have to have their policy till right before the preseason begins. But if I'm a team and I'm going to follow the lead of Christopher Johnson, I don't know why he got a publicity for saying he would pay the fines. Well, of course he has to pay the fine. That's the rule. The key is he said he would not fine the players. Now, Woody Johnson, his brother, is an ambassador appointed by Donald Trump. What if Woody comes back and says, whoa, that's not what the president wants? So there's all kind of things that can happen here. What bothers me the most about it is the way they admitted that the president had something to do with it, which means, you know, he'll feel like Popeye eating spinach now for a long time, and if he wants to blast the league, it'll be even better. I believe it was Richard Deutsch who said, Donald Trump wanted to buy an NFL franchise, and now he owns the league. That was the most appropriate thing I saw after that. You can imagine, Sean, when players are in the dressing room, all the cameras, when the national anthem's in, ends are not going to be pointed toward the field. They're going to be pointed to see comes out of the dressing room. It's going to create an unbelievable controversy. And if you are an owner and you find your players who kneel on the sideline, that could end up hurting you at free agency or signing undrafted free agents if other owners don't do that.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt when the Jets owner spoke out, John, is like, well, how desirable have the Jets been as a place for free agents over the last few years? And I felt like that to me, and look, I don't want to question the sincerity of what he's saying, but certainly my first thought was, wow, if these players who are pretty active socially and certainly the ones who take offense to the policy and the execution of it would probably look a little more favorably at that team.
They should have done it the way they did it for decades. Just keep the teams in the dressing room till after the national anthem, and or just don't changed the policy. There were less than 10 players protesting at the end of the year. Now players are going to spend so much time trying to figure out a way to circumvent the rule because they don't like being told what to do. They don't like being bossed around. I even though they didn't have to consult the NFLPA because it's not part of collective bargaining, I would have done it out of a courtesy. And so now there's so much mistrust between the owners and the players. It just keeps getting worse and worse.
John, are the owners, are they addressing an issue that we know for sure is the issue when it comes to the downturn in business that they've had? I mean, and I guess just, are they actually going and vetting data on this? Are they talking to their season ticket holders? What are the NFL owners doing other than, you know, just kind of hand-wringing over the fact that TV ratings are down and they're hearing from a very vocal part of their fan base? I mean, have we quantified? What do the owners and the teams know about what exactly it is they're addressing right now?
Well, first of all, I don't believe that they're losing money at all. Look at Fox's deal. Look at the new streaming deal. Everybody's TV ratings are down. Sunday Night Football, highest-rated show on TV. If people are not watching NFL, I think it's because there's so much bad football. You take out so many key players like quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, and there's a lot of other great players who got hurt and were done. Their teams were bad, and I think people don't want to watch bad football blindly. And so I know this because I've talked to several owners. They get bombarded by suite holders, sponsors, club seat holders saying that they're going to cancel their tickets if they don't do something about the protesters because the players, it doesn't have anything to do with the disrespect for the flag or America. It has to do with calling attention to social injustice. But there's a lot of people don't understand that. They still equate it with a disrespect for the flag. And a lot of those guys that are doing stuff grew up military families like Michael Bennett. His dad, Michael Bennett Sr., is proud of what his son does. And Rashad Matthews, a receiver at Tennessee, he stayed in the dressing room every game, and he grew up in a military family and has nothing to do with respect for the flag of the military but social injustice, trying to call attention to it, and they have, and the league's kicking in $90 million to the Players Coalition for players to use for programs that they believe it's important in their cities, and that's a great step in the right direction. But there's still they don't trust the owners.
John, you mentioned, I'm glad you brought up the $90 million because that's obviously something the owners have pledged to these players. Was there an opportunity there to maybe establish a policy in conjunction with the $90 million as opposed to having them separately? Or was there concern that the players would look like sellouts if they gave up their anthem, you know, what they would call their rights to protest during the anthem? In conjunction with getting $90 million.
No, Sean, they couldn't do that. And that looks like, here's the money, don't do it.
Right.
As it was, some players have pulled out and told the coalition, you're selling out. Here's the way I look at it. If you get money from the league and the owners to spend in your community, and you've got to check your ego at the door, check the ego. It's a lot more important to get that money and use it for just causes than for your ego to get massaged. And that's why I hope the players can pull together on this. But when you don't consult the union at all, you're just the bad blood is growing increasingly bitter. And, Sean, it's going to come to a head when they start the negotiations for the new collective bargaining agreement.
Oh, yeah. All roads lead to 2021 or whatever the year is where they're going to be doing the new CBA. That's going to be unbelievable. John McClain is joining me on CBS Sports Radio. All right, John, some actual football to talk about here. I feel like the Indianapolis Colts, at least publicly, are whistling past the graveyard. Like, nothing to see here with Andrew Luck. He's all good. He's fine. If you're an Indianapolis Colts fan, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most concerned, how concerned would you be right now with the fact that Andrew Luck, we still haven't seen him throw a football yet?
I am an Andrew Luck fan. I've known him since he's a kid because I've known his dad for over 30 years, and I'm concerned. I'm a 10 concerned. Mm-hmm. Until I see Andrew throwing the ball and throwing it the way he did before he had the injuries, I'm going to be concerned. And I guarantee you Colts fans are, and the Colts are too. You can say all you want, he'll be back at training camp, but we've seen that before. And so I am really worried about Andrew Luck.
Yeah, and just another quarterback question for you here. I know you do a lot of radio in Tennessee as well. We've seen that Matt Ryan has now reestablished the market for quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers is probably on the cusp of doing something here. Marcus Mariota, and maybe also I'll throw Jameis Winston in here. These quarterbacks that have elite quarterbacks that have come off of rookie contracts have generally reset the market. Cam Newton when he came up, Andrew Luck when he came up, Derek Carr when he came up. How do you think it plays out contractually with Marcus Mariota and I guess Jameis Winston as well, the top two picks of the 2015 draft?
Mariota hasn't played a full season healthy, and Winston has. And Mariota just got to the second round of the playoffs, and Aaron Rodgers is going to set the standard. And there's no way that the agents for those two players, Mariota and Winston, can expect to get as much or more than Aaron Rodgers. And so I would imagine both the agents are going to wait and hope the other one does it first. They probably ought to do them together. But neither one will be the one that wants to sign first. I would guess because Mariota's gotten farther in the playoffs, he deserves more money. That could change this season with Jameis Winston and the Bucks. Maybe they'll go from worst to first, but it is a much tougher division for them to try to do that. But I do not think either of them will be the highest paid quarterback when they sign ahead of Aaron Rodgers.
I agree with you, John, about that. Of the two players, if they were both, let's pretend they were both put on the marketplace, they were both free agents, which one do you think would get more buzz and attention in the free agency process between Winston and Mariota?
Mariota's more, he's more mobile, mm-hmm. and he's been farther in the playoffs. You know, he's never had any off-the-field issues, so I would say Mariota over Jameis Winston.
John McClain joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Just staying with some contract stuff here for a second, John. You obviously cover Jadeveon Clowney here in Houston. Aaron Donald is staying away from OTAs in Los Angeles with the Rams. We know Khalil Mack is part of that draft class. Even Odell Beckham, although plays a different position, part of that. A lot of these. My point is, a lot of these 2014 draft picks are coming up for contracts. Specific to the defensive guys, how do you think this whole thing plays out over the next few months?
I think Aaron Donald will get the most. He was coming off NFL Defensive Player of the Year. I think Khalil Mack will get second. Jadeveon Clowney will get third. Clowney's not been cleared to return to OTAs from the scope he got on his knee in January. Well, it's 4 months later. I'd be worried about that. And there were reports in the national media months, weeks ago that he was on the verge of signing when he never was and isn't. And so I think all their agents are waiting to see, you know, who jumps first, and the one that deserves the most is Donald.
Yeah, it's an amazing staring contest going on right now between those players. Last one before I let you go, John. Does Dez Bryant find his way onto an NFL roster before training camp starts?
Yeah, I believe he will. I think he'll probably be a one-year deal for maybe $1 million or $2 million, but somebody will sign him, but he won't be the number one receiver, and he might not be the number two receiver.
Do you think that's best, though? Like, what do you think? Maybe not a team, or if you want to throw a team in there, that's fine, but what do you think the best type of situation is for Dez Bryant right now?
Where he can go in and help an established quarterback, somebody playing opposite a guy with a lot of speed, because Dez's game has never been about speed, a team that moves the ball well and it can use his strength inside the red zone where he can fight for the ball and out-muscle players. But, you know, he's had two mediocre years in a row. And if Tony Romo had been there, he might have still had him instead of Dak Prescott. But he'll get a job somewhere. I would think it's probably a veteran quarterback and a veteran coach who can handle a guy with his peaks and valleys emotionally.
Do you think he made a mistake not signing with Baltimore?
Yeah, I'd still be shocked if they offered him $7 million a year like the reports. If he was offered $21 million, he'd be nuts to turn that down.
I agree. John McClain, you can find him on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. Hey, John, really appreciate you making time on a Sunday evening. Go get in front of that TV for the next several hours, my man.
Hey, John, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much, as always.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.